Hello everyone, I'm Padmini Arhant, representative, divine mission, author and presenter, PadminiArhant.com. Welcome to impromptu interaction with you, the audience, worldwide. I've been engaged in discussion on serious matter and that will continue, much to certain entities' disappointment. The topics vary from nuclear disarmament, political instability, to warfare, terrorism, and social unrest, so on. I thought for a change, I will focus on other activities as well. As such, Padmini Arhant is persona non grata to my dear opponents and ardent critics out there. After all, where will I be without them, right? They make my day, I tell you, really, they do. Their reaction to my evidence and facts-based articles are always very interesting to me. They know for sure that the presentations are evidence and facts based. They are not fabrication or figment of my imagination. Knowing well, they are in a position where they are not able to defend their indefensible situation. So what do? They resort to a personal smear campaign. Yes, personal attacks. That has become the trend and practice. This is also facilitated by their proxies, the contingency at their disposal, and of course coming from diverse background, may I add, as much as they shun diversity in society, but when it comes to their own representation, they seem to have absolutely no problems in the multicultural or cosmopolitan representation. I'm not so sure about cosmopolitan, but I would definitely emphasize on the multifaceted, multi-dimensional orientation, as I said in my earlier presentation. So here it goes. When it comes to my opponents, my critics' reaction to what I have to say and write about the various issues in the articles that I present on my website, PadminiArhant.com. They do have a serious problem with my references to the first person speech. They think that I should not be speaking as myself, I am, so on. And that in itself is contradictory to the position they maintain all along. That is why I say that they are the irony, in my view. While they have objection to whatever I say and do, they seem to have no recollection or even any memory about how they behave in public life. And yes, this is what I call selective memory in politics. That is so convenient, isn't it? Selective memory. They conveniently forget whatever they do and say, but then only remember whatever that is suitable to their position. And I would like to shed light on my ardent critics' reaction, as I just mentioned. Let me begin with the religion. Religion is the pawn in contemporary politics. How religion is being used, I would say misused, maneuvered, and to a large extent considered the potent tool for politics. And this is what I guess in political jargon one could say vote bank politics. So when I talk about religion, how are the critics and my opponents treating religion? I think there is a great need for proper education, for whatever is happening in terms of incidents or involvement, there is a great deal of ignorance. You know, what I think about ignorance is ignorance sometimes ignorance could be a bliss, and at other times ignorance could serve as an abyss to those who choose to remain ignorant on different matter. In this instance, I would focus on the religion of Islam. Islam. How did Islam originate? Where did it originate from? Islam. Isn't Islam Abrahamic religion? Abraham, the father of the religions, Judaism, Islam, and when you come to think of it, Christianity as well. Abraham's sons, Isaac, responsible for the birth of Judaism, and Abraham's son, Ishmael, the source for the birth of Islam. And with Christianity, I would say the founder of Christianity being Jesus Christ, but then Jesus Christ with Mother Mary of Judaism has the religion, Judaism, interlinked with Christianity. So you have the three religions whose father is Abraham. So you have the three religions, Judaism and Islam in particular, when you view as the family or in the family concept, what do you see? They are half brothers, Judaism and Islam, and so is Christianity, as I just mentioned with Mary being the follower of Judaism at that time, and then Christianity being born. Or I know that contention in this regard as well, but then, you know, religion is being treated with the intention to dispute and contest anything that could possibly promote peace. And that is the problem today. There is no recognition of inherent truth in whatever that originated at in the beginning. Then as time went by, there has been considerable distortion and you know, various interpretations that has only created more confusion than clarity. So what I'm talking about Islam here, an Islamic religion, the religion of Islam, sharing the parenthood with Judaism and Christianity, is isolated as the enemy of these two religions. Isn't that interesting when you really come to think of it, that they are the family, and this is how I see it, there is this family feud only fomented by those who are the opponents of peace. In the same context, I would like to travel east and highlight on how Islam is related to the present time with yet another religion. India, as the Indus Valley civilization, and then with the rapid transformations that that was experienced by civilization at that time, what happened was the invasion of India. My focus is going to be on the Mughal invasion of India. So when the Mughals, belonging to the Persian and the Turkish Ottoman Empire, when they predominantly from Persia and then the Ottoman Empire as well, when they occupied and invaded India, there were considerable not just efforts, but there was this active proselytization. So they proselytized the natives in India. Proselytism, that is the conversion from the existing religious practice to the one that is being enforced upon those who are following any particular faith. So when the forceful conversion or proselytism took place in India, and that is how Muslims came about in India, who were converted into Islam through proselytism. And I would also highlight in this context that Kashmir, yes, the contentious, heavily contested Kashmir, was a Hindu state and proselytized to become what is being now raised as Kashmir, 99% or Muslims. That might be the case, but when you really go back to the origin and the roots, facts cannot possibly be disputed. And this has been admitted by the source that was responsible for proselytism of Hindus in Kashmir, Iran. The Iran cleric arriving in Kashmir and spreading the message of Islam, and then the period, the Mughal period, enabled that transition as well. What is important to understand is the Mughal invasion of India and their quest for conquest, as it always happens with any illegal invasion and occupation of foreign land, persisted, and that was in full force at that time. In the process, what happened was not only proselytism was active, but also there were the rules or the customs and traditions were also enforced upon the natives of India. And as a result, you see India, where there has been predominant Mughal presence and dominance, such as North Indian territory, North India, Eastern and Western India. In the 21st century, follows and has adapted to Islamic custom. And I can give you one of many examples. One of them is Hindu women covering their head. That is, they cover their head as the women of Islam do. They wear the headscarf, and the Hindu women in North India Western and East India too. Until today, they cover their head, as the tradition, Hindu tradition, does not follow this custom. This is one adaptation by the Indians or Indian population in these territories that had Mughal rule and occupation. And this tradition has not been disinherited either. And another example is North Indian weddings are very similar to the Islamic tradition as well. Like North Indian weddings are usually they are held at night, and the groom also covers his face, as the tradition or the custom is in the Muslim, amongst Muslim population. And the other factor that is worth the reminder is Sindh province is in Pakistan, not in India. When the British Empire were forced to quit India with the Quit India movement by non-violent and peaceful leader Mahatma Gandhi, the British Empire did not want to just leave India, granting India the freedom, and say au revoir and wish them a thriving democracy. Not at all. Could it be possible? Why would they do that? Anyone who arrives on foreign land with aggression, or in this instance there was more treachery, you know, East India Company arriving as traders and using the traitors in India, were able to establish the what became the British Empire in India. And this formula was repeatedly tried elsewhere, and that is how the colonization spread worldwide. Going back to what I was just saying about Sindh province, even today, is in Pakistan, not in India. When British Empire were forced to leave the Indian subcontinent, yes, there was mutiny created, and then the parting gift from the British Empire to the natives of the Indian subcontinent was mutiny and partition. Yes, the parting gift was the partition, partitioning of India into India and Pakistan. So Sindh province is in Pakistan. And then there has been tremendous transmigration, loss of lives, as always happens, and massive chaos and commotion, and took decades, I don't think still resolved, with families on both sides not being able to meet and greet their relatives due to constant tensions between India and Pakistan. Again, this is also very much in hegemony favor, is it not? Tensions, treating each other not as allies and neighbors, but always remaining adversaries, so that they both can be used against each other. This is also what I see as strategic games in the era of dying imperialism, struggling for survival. When I talk about the traditions, Islamic traditions, and how Islam influenced Hindu culture and customs, this is an example that cannot possibly be disputed, as it is being followed and practiced even today in India. Hindu women covering their heads, that is, they use their sari to cover their head, as the Muslim women do with their headscarf. And as I said again, this is not a Hindu practice to cover the head, and yet that custom is maintained until today. While the politicians in India engage in subversion and citing me as a Muslim, and you know, constantly the reference against me is that I am a Muslim, I have no problems whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I think God is the universal benefactor, the supreme force, the supreme entity, as the creator of this entire universe, including any spiritual experience by the world through religions. I quote only those religions that are that are pledged to peace, harmony, unity, equality, for these are the divine entity's characteristics. And that is how they become the religion with the blessing from Almighty God. It is important to understand that there are other cults and all kinds of activities generated to deflect public attention and also to confuse people from the real message of God, if that is being understood through religion, then you know, that religion has an enormous responsibility, or those who represent the religion, they bear they have a critical role to play in society in conveying the message to the followers, so that there is no misconception about the religion established with the blessing from Almighty God. Said the religion that is pledged to peace, equality, and respect for life. Yes, those are the religions that are blessed by God, not the ones that has been created for political reasons or ideological factors, and to promote their own doctrine. Yes, they are the they are essentially created to impose their values, and this is in a way I consider indoctrination of of the people, especially those who blindly follow them. When we talk about religions, as religion is being accused, I would say, religion is being accused as the reason behind world problems today. Those who are truly responsible for the issues that are contributing to human misery, they would use anything, not just religion. They would rely on anything to evade responsibility, for they do not want to come forward and accept their wrongdoings with clear conscience. This also demands enormous courage on them. Unfortunately, there is a serious deficiency in this respect. When I talk about how Islam influenced Hindu traditions during the Mughal period, and that the adaptation of Islamic tradition since that period is continued until today in India, and yet the politics that is involved in citing me as the Muslim or someone of Islamic faith. As I said, I believe and respect in having equal respect for all religions. When I say all religions, the religions blessed by God, the religions that are devoted and dedicated to peace, as the religion of Islam is, and so are the other religions, Hinduism or Christianity or Judaism and Buddhism, any other religion that evolved subsequent to the ancient and other ancient religion that has been that has been practiced followed even into the new millennium. And my reference to that religion is Hindu religion. Again, I know that I could even be branded as now a Hindu fundamentalist or Hindu nationalist and so on, for hegemony cannot possibly refrain from characterization, mischaracterization of anything I say, for distortion is their forte. But here I'm trying to clarify, as I just said, that I have enormous respect for the religions that are that represents peace, secularism, and again secularism is also subverted to suit the present forces interpretation. When I mention secularism, yes, tolerance to other religions and respect with equal reverence for other religions as well, and that is what I consider being secular, having equal respect and reverence. If you think that God is Almighty God, representing the entire universe, then that God cannot possibly be a God of one religion and not another. This defies logic. Or you have to perhaps rephrase your claim and say that the God that you are referring to only represent one particular religion, and then in that case that God cannot possibly be the Almighty God of the universe. And the other dimension is influence of religions impact customs and traditions. In the present time, there is not any realization in that regard, for they are so overwhelmed with their political motives and ambitions. Frivolously they engage in remarks, and as I just mentioned at the beginning of this interaction, that a smear campaign has become the arsenal for them, thinking that that would silence their target. In this respect, I'm talking about myself. That is, I am their target. So when you're targeting me and you expect me not to you know, come back with my response, is indeed naive, and also, I guess, to a certain extent, lack of respect for others' opinion. So, you know, you cannot possibly engage in attacks and not expect your targets with a comeback. Here I am, because of my position with the issues that are happening in the Middle East, ever remaining volatile, and most Islamic nations are are designated war zones, and there is also Islamophobia that cannot possibly be denied. So when I speak about these issues, I am immediately branded as so and so. But then, as I just said, you know, I have equal respect for Islam or Hinduism or Christianity or Judaism as the religions that any religion that promotes peace, not acrimony, and invites harmony, not discord, and recognize freedom for all, not the selective few. That religion would be the religion of God. Anything else would be representative of those who are vehemently opposed to any of these values. And this is what you witness today. The other issue that is that is important to be aware of is propaganda. You know, this wild and vicious propaganda. This is all happening due to the forces there they are no longer able to defend their policy. So this is a sign of desperation, in my view. So what are they doing is, you know, create these this misinformation artillery, and then and this is being launched through airwaves and communication media, including the so-called entertainment industry. And the representatives of the entertainment industry may not be all of them, but then only this would only apply to those who are the volunteers to promote such propaganda. This is an irrefutable fact that that is prevalent today. Distortion and exaggeration, and so much so that they are even misinterpreting, or history itself is being taken up to task, is being challenged. This is all to rescue themselves from their own disaster. You know, when you are engaged in constant personal attacks against your target, for you have nothing else to say in terms of your actions, your involvement, your policy and strategy, that is my focus, for that is what is contributing to global suffering, instability, and endangering life on the planet.